Saint Irenaeus was a prolific writer during the years of the early church, and he once said, "The glory of God is humanity, fully alive. And if we are watching for it, we can catch glimpses of it." If you've ever driven through South Georgia, you know that along those winding state highways, there's about a pond every mile or two. And I love to visit my grandparents who lived in South Georgia because they lived on one of those small ponds. And in the back shed, leaning against the corner of the room, was about a dozen cane poles. And at the beginning of the week, we'd drive about a quarter mile down the road to this old beat-up gas station to buy a container of worms, and every afternoon we would go fishing. We'd walk about 100 yards to this small dock right off their back porch. And my grandmother is the real fisherman in the family. We all used the same bait. We all stood on this same tiny dock, but she always caught more fish than anybody else. She just had a sixth sense. And if I stood there for too long without catching anything, staring at that lifeless bobber on the top of the water, I would just walk next door to Miss Cooksey's dock. Because right off of Miss Cooksey's dock, she had had a PVC frame built in the water, where she would throw bread every afternoon, and it would stay in that frame where the fish would eat, because I always caught something off of Miss Cooksey's dock. Well, there are lessons to be learned from fishing. If you've ever taken a child fishing for the first time, you know that bobber has to constantly be moving. They have to catch something every few minutes, reeling something in. Otherwise, they lose interest fast. But fishing is not always that way. You can't always walk to Miss Cooksey's dock. You have to learn to practice patience, openness, and willingness. Sitting there in the present moment, watching, attentive to that bobber, waiting for what will happen next. That it teaches a way of life. And on one particular fishing trip, right after the resurrection, the disciples went fishing. And any time we talk about the disciples fishing, we have to remember this was not a hobby for them. This was not how they spent a leisurely Saturday afternoon. This was how they fed their families. It was a livelihood. It was a way of life. And there on the shore was Jesus. They didn't recognize him as they were coming in from the fishing trip. But he calls out and says, "I guess you haven't caught anything," which is the last thing any fisherman wants to hear. And Jesus says, "Throw the net on the other side of the boat." And every fisherman knows the hope of one last cast. That surely if I throw the line in one more time, this will be it. And sure enough, they pulled in a net full of fish. But it wasn't because of one final cast. It was because of the ways of patience, openness, and willingness, responding to the voice of Jesus. And the Apostle Paul learns this in a very interesting way, that when we meet him, as he is known as Saul, he was the furthest thing from open, patient, or willing. That he had taken control of his faith instead of his faith taking control of him. That he traveled from place to place, not listening to anyone. He already had all the answers. He was seeking out the people of the way, which were the followers of Jesus, and he was persecuting them. That is, until he went to Damascus, and he sees that blinding light, and his eyes are closed. Everyone around him is speechless, and he hears the voice of Christ say, "Why do you persecute me?" And then after 3 days, the scales fell from his eyes, and he saw the world differently. But he also spoke differently as well. Because in his voice, all of a sudden, you could hear patience and openness and willingness. He was willing to sit down around the table with people he was never willing to sit down with before. It's like when Jesus sees the disciples coming in with this net full of fish and says, "Come, let us eat breakfast." And they gather there on the shore of the lake, eating together, marked by the ways of patience and openness and willingness. It was the glory of God in humanity fully alive, bound by something that was difficult to put into words. Esther DeWall writes, "I shall not find Christ at the end of the journey unless he accompanies me along the way." The Greek word for the way, hodos, literally means a path, one that we walk on, that takes us somewhere. It's like the Magi or wise men following that star in the sky, seeking Jesus out after he is born. But then it says they went home by another way, taking a different road back home. Or as Jesus on that day of the resurrection, but unknown to those two disciples, that Jesus is walking with those disciples along the way to Emmaus, literally the road taking them to that village. But it also speaks of the ways of Jesus. As John the Baptist came in the way of righteousness to prepare a way for the Lord. Or in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am the way." Or in the book of Acts, where the early church is not referred to as Christian, but the people of the way. That faith is a way of life. And it's more like a traveler than it is a tourist. That word tourist comes from the Latin word tornus. It is a tool for making circles. That the tourist leaves home and simply circles around, passing through a few places on his or her way back home. But not a traveler. A traveler is never just passing through. A traveler is present in the moment, attentive to what is taking place. A traveler is patient and open and willing. Because a traveler knows that he or she is on his or her way somewhere. That faith is a way of life. So it is personal, but it is not private. Marva Daum tells this wonderful story. She's a theologian that writes a good bit about the church and the meaning of worship. And she was in the hospital one week because she deals with ongoing health concerns throughout her life. And the students in her confirmation class came to see her. And they brought handwritten cards and flowers and a balloon that said goodwill. And they gathered around her bed and they talked for a little over an hour. And as they were leaving, collecting their things, they turned to Marva Dawn, knowing that she would want to know. They were continuing their efforts in their confirmation class and said, "We are going to church this Sunday." But Marva Dawn said, "No. No, you're not." And they were quite shocked and confused, looking at one another, wondering, what does she know that we don't? And they said, "No, really, we promise. We are going to church this Sunday." But Marva Dawn, always the teacher, said, "No, you're not going to church. You are the church." Faith is a way of life. It's part of how we do business and go about our work. It is woven into all aspects of our days. It's how we demonstrate that others are important. It's how we show up and we are present in the given moment. It's how we share our story or listen to the stories of others. It's how we know that we are the church. And the table of the church reminds us that faith is personal, but it is not private, because we look up and around the table is everyone else gathered with us, bound together in this way of life. It's how our stories become part of God's stories through the ways of patience and openness and willingness, knowing that this leads us somewhere, that we are not tourists. We are travelers. Perhaps that's why Jesus looked up at the disciples after they had finished their meal and turned to Peter and said, "Feed my lambs." Because at the table we are fed, and then because of this way of life, we are called to go and to feed others, to be present in the moment, to be open and willing to however the Spirit of God may lead. And then we just might be surprised by the glory of God wherever we see humanity fully alive. Amen.